Do be praised. He's been so good to me, then I just can't stand it. If he'd been any better, I know people say you got things going on and this is going, but see, that is besides the point, because you could be in a grave right now. You could be, you know, homeless. You could be begging for bread. But you know what? The Bible tells me, like he said, I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. But we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who strengthens us. Good morning to everybody on social media, all the different platforms we on. Good morning, Periscope. Good morning, Zoom. Good morning, Facebook Live. Good morning, YouTube, wherever you may be. Or if you're listening to this on the podcast in your midweek, you know, yes, we're a little bit of everywhere. Bless you in the name of Jesus. And I'm thank you, and I'm honored that you've taken the time out of all the thousands of broadcasts that go around the world, that you've taken the time to come and see about us here in Greensboro. We are the Safe House Church of Greensboro, North Carolina, where I like to call myself Greensboro's favorite pastor. I decree and declare that we're Greensboro's favorite pastor, in the sense that we're here what not only for this greater triad community, but we're here for any and everybody, whosoever will, let them come. Yellow, red, black, and white, we are all precious in His sight. And I'm just so grateful to serve such a wonderful group of people. Yes, I said serve because, you know, this is servitude. This is a service job. This is, you know, this is a burden that God puts on the heart. You know, I just didn't jump into being a pastor because it was something cool to do. Trust me, I have plenty of cool things to do. And those who know me personally or who got to know me personally know that I do a lot of very cool things. Amen. I do a lot of very cool things, and I'm very blessed to be able to do a lot of cool things with a lot of cool people. But nonetheless, this right here is where my heart is. This is where, you know, my calling is, you know, and God is maybe a preacher. You know, sometimes I preach a little bit. Most of the time I teach. But nonetheless, you know, this is the group of people that God has have called unto us, and I'm grateful for those who've been here for a while and those who just started. I thank for those, the faithfulness of those who've been with us here from the very beginning, and I'm thankful for those who've come to join us and come familiar with us. Amen. I asked if everyone would just share this with somebody. You know, you got the Zoom, share the Zoom link with somebody. If you're on the Facebook, hit the share button with somebody, because that's somebody who needs to hear this message. If this is your first time with the Safe House Church, we work on three pillars of faith that I believe God has called us to. We call it DEA. And we call it DEA from the point of view, not the DEA, not the drug enticement, the drug enforcement agency, but discipleship. We're going to teach you. Empowerment. We're going to put you in position, and accountability. We're going to hold you accountable. We're going to hold you accountable to what God has called us to do, because we expect and we want you to hold us accountable, because it's going to save our souls. Amen. It's going to save our souls. I'd rather my brother, he about to see me walk into the road and I don't see an oncoming car. I'd rather him scream, holler, yell, and pull on me if need be to pull me from getting hit from a car. Amen. And this is how we see this. So I am my brother's keeper. Yes, I am. We are responsible for one another. Amen. And I do believe that. And that's what we teach here at the Safe House Church. We're going to love you. We're going to give you the word of God. And then we're going to also put you in a position that you make your decision. But the Bible says, save yourself. As your pastor, I can give you all these scriptures and all these things, but at the end of the day, you have to make that decision for yourself. Those who are membership with us, and those who are under our leadership, will tell you that Pastor Ely don't tell anybody what to do. I just give you advice. I tell you what the Bible says. But at the end of the day, it's your decision, or you will never come back and say that Pastor Ely said, do exactly this, and it didn't work out. Amen? Why? Because everybody's situation is different. However, you have to learn and be able to apply the word of God for yourself. There may come a time that you can't even see me on Facebook Live. It may come a time we can't do the Zooms and all these kind of things. I want to be able to know that, you know, I've taught you and put you in a position that you can go to that Bible and read it for yourself. You know, I always work from the framework, and I tell all our members, they know this. We work from the framework of what? Content. Content is the Bible. The Bible is the infallible word of God. We believe it from cover to cover. I believe in this literal interpretation. Some say it's all symbolic, and I believe you can go different ways with it, but I believe in this literal interpretation. Number two is context. Once you have the content, which is the Bible, then you have to have what? Context. Context, what brings those things to life. You know, you understand what area of the country they are. You understand what's going on. You understand, you know, the climate and all these kind of things, because context is very important to why they say some of the things they say. You know, people say the Bible contradicts itself and all kinds of stuff. And I say, no, you don't. Because when you read it out of context, you're going to get anything. It's just like somebody taking a 30-second soundbite for something that you preached for 50 years. You see what I'm saying? And people do it all the time. So we have to be careful. So context. And then this is, watch this part. This is the part where maybe the safe house is just a little different from everybody else. But that last part is what? That God gives you the revelation. So you got content, context. I can give you content. I can give you context. But it's the Spirit of God that's going to give you the revelation. Are y'all with me? All I do is I share the revelation that God has given me for, I believe, for the flock. But then you take that same word, you take the same thing that I've been teaching to you, you take the same thing that we've been reading together, and now you go back and you read it and say, Lord, minister to me. Lord, what is it that you have with me to get out of this? Lord, what it is that you have me to take from this? Because see, I'm not your God. I didn't die on the cross for anybody. I'm not worthy. And the truth of the matter is that you're not worthy either. However, he did set up a plan that allow you and I to be what? In a redemption space that we can get what? Meet the tree of life and be able to see him face to face one day. So that's the Safe House Church in a nutshell, that you're going to get content, you're going to get context, but you got to ask the God to give you the revelation. And how do you get the revelation? You got to have the Holy Ghost. Oh, we still a Bible talking, speaking in tongues. I believe in being baptized in the name of Jesus. We still do all of that. All that still matters. And it's very important and it's relevant to this day. It is very relevant to this day that what? That those things are there. Amen? Amen. So God bless you all. I love you all. And to those who are just coming into the chat, good morning, good morning. All right. So as we go in here, all right, let's get started. So I want to go in for a moment, if you wouldn't mind, and thank you all to those of new visitors and those who are visiting with us for the first time. Hope that you're able to connect and everything is well. Amen. Amen. Would you turn with me for a little bit this morning in your Bibles? We want to go in the Bible here today. We want to go to 2 Timothy 3 and 5. Very familiar passage for many. 2 Timothy 3 and 5. 2 Timothy 3 and 5. All right. 2 Timothy 3 and 5. 3 and 5. 3 and 5. 3 and 5. All right. Let's pull it up here. 3 and 5. 3 and 5. 3 and 5. Amen. Amen. See, some is getting dropped in and out the chat this morning. But, you know, sometimes that's how it goes online. Amen. I'm just so grateful to have so many there today. Okay, let me share my screen here. All right. Oh, let me take some of this, you know, this we call eye candy off here. Amen. Amen. 2 Timothy 3 and 5. And the Bible, and it says this. 2 Timothy 3 and 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the truth, come to the knowledge of the truth. That last part, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Y'all know we're in an ever learning society. You know, I'm one of those ones, you know, I'm one of those, you know, forever students. You know, I believe in forever learning. Amen, I do. And, you know, we find ourselves in this place that we forever learning, forever learning, forever learning. But sometimes some people, with all their learning, they never come to the truth. And I'm going to tell you, part of the reason for that is their lack of what? The Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that gives the revelation. Amen? It's the Holy Spirit that gives the revelation. All right, so one more verse with me. Would you turn with me to Mark? We go to St. Mark, the 16th chapter, and we'll go to verse 17. And then I'm going to jump right into the meat of this. Mark 16 and 17, and it says this. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They shall recover. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's go in. I want to go back into a word of prayer this morning before we go right into what I believe God has given us on this day. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, Lord. I just want to say I thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for just waking us up this morning and bringing us here to this point in time. Lord, I ask that this word, Lord Jesus, on today, Lord Jesus, I know, Lord Jesus, it might be a tough word, Lord Jesus. It might be some meat, Lord Jesus, for some, Lord Jesus, and milk for others, oh God. But nonetheless, Lord Jesus, feed this flock, oh God, that your people would walk away, Lord Jesus, with that, Lord Jesus, which you have them to have, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, and I love you, Lord. If I give content, Lord, I can give context, but Lord, it's you that gives the revelation, Lord. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. So I want to talk to you a little bit from this subject on today. Let me see if I can get my subject to pull up here. The Church of Simulacrum. The Church of Simulacrum. I know they were like, I know some of you are saying, okay, Pastor, you didn't gave us one of them SAT GRE words today. The Church of Simulacrum. The Church of Simulacrum. So let's talk about simulacrum a little bit. What is simulacrum? Well, simulacrum is just simply a replacement, if you will. Means to replacement of a reality. You know, when we think about something that's being simulated, you know, when we think about simulation, when we think about simulation, it's something that's not real. So it's actually what we call simulated. So it's ran, and it gives us all the things of what is real in it, and it gives position of what is real in. And what we do is we run all these different types of simulations and things to help us to be in position to when the real situation happens. Right now, our children, many of our children all across this nation, are spending a great deal of time in simulation, meaning that what they have simulation labs. They have labs that they're being simulated on, that they've gotten things to help them do school, but it's not the real thing. I know I remember when I was in school, we used to do things like dissect frogs. And now as I look at my daughter's work and the work that they're doing, they're dissecting them, but they're dissecting them virtually. Now, if you ever had the opportunity and the ability to dissect a frog, you understand some things. There's not some things you just cannot simulate. You know, it's hard to simulate the smell of the formaldehyde. Mm-hmm. It's hard to simulate the touching and the feeling of that dead animal in front of you. It's hard to simulate, you know, being able to pull the lungs out and the heart out and be able to examine these things in real time and see what maybe has happened to this animal over time and to have, you know, where this animal's been and what kind of things he's been eating. Yes, we can build computer graphics. Yes, we can build all this kind of stuff about around it, but it's hard to simulate the real deal. We find ourselves in the day in a church today that we find ourselves in a place that we see a simulation church. A simulation church in that we have church, we say all the right things, they go through all the protocol, yet we deny the power therein. The Bible tells us that we was going to be a time, and if you read the verses before that, back in Timothy, he was telling Timothy that perilous times was going to come, Timothy, and there was going to be a time that you were going to have people who were going to be lovers of themselves and find themselves covetous and in situations and in things and all kinds of stuff, but he told him to hold straight to the truth. He said, hold on to that which you know to be real. Oh, come on, somebody. He said, hold on to that which you know have brought you over the many years. Hold on to that which is taking you through and your mama through and your daddy through. And I know you say that, you know what, your daddy's God and your mama's God. And yes, it's the same God, the same God that took them through is able to take you and I through. Yes, we in some different situations. Yes, we've never been in a pandemic before. No, I never passed it through one before. No, it has anybody else that's on this earth right now, if the truth be told. However, I am reminded that God is faithful. And since he's faithful and he changes not, now he didn't say that his methods wouldn't change, but his principles and his concepts do not change. He still hates sin. Oh, come on, somebody. But he still loves you. Oh, he still has his redemption power. He still has it all in his hand. He's still in a place that what? That he reaches low and be able to pull us up high. Oh, come on, somebody. Y'all help me preach this thing today. That God is still asking us that we're working in today. We must be careful of the church of simulacrum. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Let me go a little deeper, if you will. Let me pull up a couple of things here. Simulacrum has some stages. Let's talk about stage one. Here I have stage one. It's a little fish, you know. We're using fish for our example, because I want to really nail this thing home for you today. Samuel Aiken, stage one. Initially, the sign, the image of representation, is a reflection of basic reality. So when they simulate, what they try to do is that, hey, you end up take all that and what y'all doing to be saved. It don't take all that. It don't take you praying. It don't take you fasting. All you got to do is play the right music, hit the right note on the keyboard, and I can show you some spirit. Since we are people of color that, you know, when the drum starts to beat, it's just something innate in us that gets your leg moving. You can take a little baby. Oh, come on, somebody, right? You can take a baby and the little baby, you start beating the drum, the baby will start moving his leg. The baby will start, you know, moving. So there's just something that's already built inside of us that likes that kind of thing. Do not mistake emotion and cultural for the real thing. You know, because the Bible says what? There will be a form of godliness, but what? It looks right. See, assimilation looks right. It does all the things of it being correct, yet it's still not the real thing. You know, I can simulate putting hands on you. I can virtually say you can touch and agree with me, and I believe God can have the power, but it's nothing like me laying my physical hand on your body. It's nothing like God coming down paying you a visit. I don't know about you, church, but I've decided we have to be careful of the simulated church. That what? That people put it on. They have a form of godliness. They say all the right things. They even can speak in tongues a little bit. They teach each other to do that stuff. But see, you got to get to the point. You know when something simulated, when it's a copy of the copy. You know, a copy of the copy is something about that. You know, back in the day, they used to have things when they used to have buy stuff. They used to say, is this the real McCoy? Why? Because Elijah McCoy was known for the quality of his materials. He was known for the quality of his adventures. He was known for the quality of his products. So when people wanted to know if they had something real, they were like, is this the real McCoy? How many of you ever heard somebody say, is this the real McCoy? What they're referring to is the authenticity of the thing. Because we see all kinds of things that are simulated. We see all kinds of things that are copied. But one thing you cannot copy is what? The genuine Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. This is why God is what? He's put us in position that he said, what? If you ask from me, then no good thing would I hold from you. If you want the Holy Ghost, you can have it. So here we have a copy of a copy of a fish. Let me pull up something else for you. Let me pull up another piece for you. Give me a second here. Let me pull up another piece for you here. The next part in this, simulation part two. Let me get this straight. Give me a second here. Stage two. So you got stage one. Stage one is just a copy of the copy. We're talking about the simulation of the church. Stage two of this is the sign makes a basic reality. The image becomes a distortion of reality. What are you saying, Peter? Remember, before that picture here was what? It was a salmon. It was a picture of a salmon. Now it's a salmon, but this salmon now looks a lot different. This salmon, number one. If you notice the salmon when it first started in the picture before, it was a salmon in water. It had life. It was swimming. It could reproduce. It could do many things. Okay? Now you find the salmon that now is what? It's dead. It's been manipulated. Oh, come on, somebody. It's been manipulated. It's been cut up. And it's been cooked. Think about it for a moment. How many of us have fallen victim to something that's been manipulated, distorted, because we saw a little bit of what it was. See, they had a little bit of tongue talking. They had a little bit of, you know, they said, thank you, Jesus. They had a little bit of Jesus in the song. So therefore, I found myself eating up this stuff and not realizing, hey, this is not the original thing. This is a distortion of it. This is when you have those secular artists who come over and then they do their thing and they go back and forth and they say, well, you know, can't nobody judge me, or only God can judge me, which we know is 100% not true, because that's not what the verse says. It says, don't judge unless ye be judged. Meaning that what? If I judge you, the same test or the same level of judgment that I hold you to, I can be held to too. So it didn't say I couldn't judge. It didn't say I shouldn't judge. It just said that I need to be careful, because that same stone that I threw, just know when I threw it at you, now it's laying at your feet, and you have the ability to pick that stone up and throw it back to me. Are y'all with me this morning? Hey, put in something in the chat. Let me know if y'all getting this or Pastor just off his rocker today. Hey, this is the simulacrum church. It's a distorted reality. It's distorted. They have a little bit of it. They can do a little bit. They sing this, right? Well, if it was this and that, why is it so full of people? Well, the Bible talks about this thing called itching ears. People run to things that make them feel good. People run to things. You know, why do you think people run to drugs and alcohol? Because that stuff, to be honest, it makes them feel good. It makes them forget their reality. It makes them forget where they are. It makes them forget what they're going through. Mm-hmm. It does that. So this is why you find people who run to this stuff. But what does our Bible tell us? He says, stand still and know that he's God. That what? Just stand still and know that what? Even through all of this, what we find ourselves going through, brothers and sisters, that he is still what? Faithful. He's faithful. He has not forgotten you. And I know it's getting harder and harder to hang on to the truth. This is why he said what? That the very elect would be fooled. This is what he's talking about, church. This is what he's talking about, saints. That they slowly distort it. It looks good. That fish looks good right there. Mm-hmm. So what do? You find yourselves eating. And you find yourselves eating more. And you find yourself spending more and more time in what? A distortion of the reality. It's not the fish anymore. It's just a part of the fish. You got a part of it. You know, I often get this. People say, well, you know, Minister Farrakhan says a lot of good stuff. And the truth of the matter is, he do. 95% of the stuff the man says, believe it or not, is true. However, if you took Kool-Aid and you put 5% strychnine in it, I don't know if that's a glass of Kool-Aid you want to drink. Yes, it's 95% Kool-Aid, but that 5% strychnine is enough to take you out of here. This is why we got to be careful. So yes, 95% of the stuff that the minister says is good stuff, but it's that 5% that gets you. It's that 5%. The Bible tells me when the Holy Ghost comes into me that way, he's to fill me up. There's no room for vacancy. That means I'm on 100. Meaning I have no room for nothing else. You have no room for nothing else. Because the Bible says it like this. He said, it's the small foxes that destroy the vine. It only takes a little bit. See, they say in color, if you have a can of paint that's white, pure white paint, if you take one drop of black paint and put it in there, you can never, ever really call it white again. It can look white. It can have the consistency of white. But that one drop of black paint in it changes its whole trajectory. Are y'all with me this morning? I'm assuming not a lot of amens and all this stuff means that you're really listening. You're taking notes, and that's a good thing. Because the Safe House Church is a thinking church. Amen. I'm grateful that we have a group of people here that think. I tell you all, Google behind me. Go see what I tell you to be true. Amen. Go see what I tell you to be true. Go challenge the word of God and see it to be true. The Bible says it like this. He says, study to show yourself approved. A workman, right? Mm-hmm. So go do some work. Study to find. Do you not see there's some distortion from where we were and where we going? And but God has a group of people, and I believe that's the Safe House Church, and we're not the only ones. Don't get it twisted, church. We're not holier than thou. We're not the only ones. We're just one of the ones that's going to stand still, that's going to stay steadfast and unmovable in the word of God. No, we're not behind on the times. Yeah, I understand things. You know, while we on a computer, we were behind on the times. But it's the concepts and the principles of God that still reign true in 2020 and 20 a million, if God so say it be. Let's move on to stage three, if you will. Give me a second to pull that up. Stage three. Ha ha. Let me get this off my face. Stage three. Now look at that. Stage three. Get that. Let you look at that for a second. Stage three. Now what do you notice here? In stage three, the sign marks the absence of the basic reality. The image calls into question what the reality is and even exists. Now we're looking at here, I have children, so I'm very familiar with these guys on this plate. These are just fish sticks. Maybe it's fish. Maybe it's salmon. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's a little cod mixed in with a lot of bread. Oh, come on, somebody. Are y'all with me this morning? Maybe it's a lot of other kind of fillers that they use in the supermarket. Whatever the case may be, you and I know, especially my adults, you all know that this is not 100% fish. It's fried. It's been processed. Sometimes we find ourselves in that. We have to be careful because people are processing the gospel to be whatever it is that they want it to be prosperous to them. Now, remember in the Bible when Paul and I think it was Paul and Silas, and Paul and Silas was walking by and the girl was telling them, these are the most high men of God. And she was speaking the truth, but she was using it for selfish gain because she was trying to authenticate herself as being a good soothsayer. And because this is how she made her money, she made the money for those who worked, whom she worked for. So therefore, what she used this to her advantage. These are the ones who go without process. This is not even what we think. We call it church. Mm-hmm. And when I say the church, I'm not talking about a building, but I'm talking about a state of being. See, we're having church because we're all on one accord. The Bible said, in the day of Pentecost, they was in the upper room and they were all on one accord. And what did he do? He dropped down his spirit like a mighty rushing wind because we was all on one accord. When we're having church, we're all on one accord. That's really all it means. It doesn't mean that I gather in the building. It doesn't mean that I'm here. I can be anywhere because God's spirit is all over the place. But when we all on that one accord, when he's feeding us all at that one time, that's the body. That's the church. So I can know when Brother Jordan is hurt. I can pick up the phone. I can sense it. I can sense it when Sister Galloway is feeling a certain kind of way. And I pick up my phone and say, I just wanted to call and check on you. Oh, come on, somebody. I sense it a certain way when Sister Williams is going through some things. Why? Because we're all part of the church. And we all are each other's keepers. Are y'all with me this morning? That's what the church is. It's not a building. It's nice to have a building because we like to be in the building. I like being in the building. Y'all know I like to talk. I like to hug on people. I like socialization. I'm a very sociable person. But that's not the church. It's not a social country club. The church is us being on one accord. So when he calls in what the Bible said, when he calls in his church, it's going to probably be a little bit, it's going to be the Safe House. It's going to be other houses all around the world. Amen. Oh, come on, somebody. Because like I said, we're not the only ones. Don't ever get in your head that we're the only ones. Because the Bible even says that he has sheep that are not of this fold. So if they line up with the word of God, if they stay steadfast and unmovable in this thing, then they too would be there. And we have to be careful of this augmented reality. So now we're to the point that the reality that didn't show itself in that way. They've been used to eating fish so long, they've been used to eating a distortion of that fish. Now when you fry the fish and you cover it up, oh, notice this, the Bible said what? They come in like what? A wolf in sheep's clothing. If this fish stick up here ain't a wolf, it gives the appearance of what? That it is healthy. It was probably so that it was salmon. Are y'all with me? But it can be covered up and sold, and you assume because you trust those in front of you. Woo! I tell you all, and I know, you know every pastor ain't going to do this, but I tell you all, if my life is out of order, leave. Don't let me be the reason why you go to hell, because the Bible says, save yourself from this underworld generation. So I'm doing everything I can to live the life before you all. I'm not a perfect man. I know you're not a perfect people, but we're striving. We're striving each and every day to be better in the space. And I can share with somebody else, look, I've been there, and this is how I overcome. I was in debt, and this is how I made it through. We overcome by the what? The power of our testimony. Your testimony helps somebody else to make it. This is why you don't be quiet about it. He allowed you to go through so that you can help somebody else. This augmented reality. Now let's go to this last one. Stage four. Let me pull that up for you. Stage four. And I'm about to. Hope y'all getting something out of this today. Woo, boy, this is good to me. Stage four. Hallelujah. Let me get this thing to move here. Okay. Stage four. I guess I can hide a couple of these here. All right. Stage four. So stage four, the sign bears no relation to the to any reality whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It is its own pure simulacrum. It's its own pure simulacrum. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not a fan of what those things called sweetest fish. Sweetest fish, if you don't know, it's a little candy. And here they've taken the liberty to take some Oreos, and they made the Oreo that creamy, sweet filling, that white creamy filling that we know to be of the Oreo. Here they've taken it and gave it the flavor of the Swedish fish candy. Now notice it was called a Swedish fish. But the truth of the matter is, this thing has nothing to do with fish. Not one iota, not one piece. We're looking at a sugary treat. We're looking at a lot of sugar. We're looking at a lot of filling. We're looking at artificial flavor. We're looking at some dye here because this thing is pink. Nothing about this cookie is natural. It's processed over. It's very unhealthy for you. Mm-hmm. It has all these things that is just so showing themselves over the top. However, we follow this. This is those itching ears. This is those who, I just want to go get a word from God. I want him to prophesy something good to me. These are the ones who chase around prophets so they can get a word. We got to be careful, church, that this is not us. We have to be careful that we don't have this augmented reality that we find ourselves chasing sugary treats. I know this word today was a meek word. But I need our church to grow up. Why? Because God has work for you to do. Pastor Eli can't go out here and compel everybody to come. But he does have a group of people that God has called him to reach. Just like you have a group of people that God has called you to reach. He's not requiring you to be perfect to be witness. It's your imperfectness that's going to allow somebody to say, you know what? I want to be a part of that church. I want to be on that level. I want to understand that Jesus. I want to understand how you can go through what you've gone through and still put a smile on your face. I want to understand why, you know, how it seemed like you've lost everything and they took stuff from you and they treated you bad and they put you down under their feet and they did all this stuff, yet you didn't cuss them out and you didn't give up and you didn't walk away. And I want to know that God that you serve that allow you to be able to do all of that. because I know if it was me, I couldn't take it. That's no simulation. That's the pure Holy Ghost. Because I don't know about you, church, but I couldn't do it without him. Because you crossed me wrong one or two times, you might have been looking for your teeth. You crossed me wrong one or two times, I might have said some choice words. You crossed me wrong one or two times, but the Holy Ghost in me says, no, hold your peace. The Holy Ghost in me say, you know what? Don't worry about it. I'm going to take it care of it in the great by and by. And it does not make me a punk. It does not make me a pushover, but it does because it requires more force to restrain oneself than it does to go off. It requires more power and anointing to restrain oneself. It takes more wisdom to restrain oneself than just allow them to give you what they say, a piece of your mind. And this is where it is. It's not that we're weak people. We're far from weak. We're far from weak. We're quite strong, actually. But what does he tell us? To be careful. Now, when we finished it today and we finished in Mark, what does he tell us in Mark? He said that, how do we know these people? How do we know? The Bible said what? There will be a sign. Mark 16 and 17. He said there will be a what? A sign of those. So how do we avoid those people? How do we avoid that church? You follow the signs. Don't be so quick to give everything away. He says what? Sometimes I tell people the best thing to do is sit back and watch, observe. Don't be so quick. Watch what they do. I hear what people say, but I've learned that I do more by watching what they do. People tell you all kinds of things, but some things that they can't hide is what they do. Yeah, I listen to what they say, but watch what they do. Give it some time. The Bible said, if you want to know the tree, you watch the fruit that it bears. Mm-hmm. So we watch the tree, and the tree doesn't bear fruit in year one. Because what, the tree has to go to maturity. But at some point, if that tree is not giving fruit, then what did Jesus do to the fig tree? He said, curse the tree and die, because it was put here to produce. I don't know about you today, but I've decided I want to produce. God has called each and every one of us to be a tree. We are to what? Produce what? After our own kind. So what are you saying? There are going to be people that Peter's going to reach because they're going to be after his own kind. They might be, you know, in college. They might be professors. They might be people of influence and all this kind of stuff. Why? Because I'm producing after my kind. It's who I am. More black males. But Peter cannot produce females because he can't. That's not his kind. I need females to produce females. I need other women of God to produce other women of God. And I know it's calling you to a new level of accountability. And that's the thing. Because what happens is now, if you're a mentor to somebody, they're looking at your life. I get it. And I know you're like, well, I don't want that scrutiny. But this is the level that God is calling us to be. You asking God for everything, and all he did is ask for one thing from you. He said what? Give your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. He said that's just like the minimum. If you do that, it's the minimum. Reasonable. So what? When I am a mentor to a younger brother and sister in Christ, it is a sacrifice. I don't do everything I want to do. I don't say everything I want to say. I don't go everywhere I want to go. Because remember, everything is not sin, but there are some things that are what? Weights. And if it's a weight, what is a weight? The Bible said what? Lay aside every weight that so easily besets you. So what happens is you and I are on this walk. We're on this race, okay? We're in a race. And as we run our race, sometimes you and I put on weights. It didn't take us necessarily off the course, but it does slow us down. So sometimes we don't get exactly where we want to be when we want to be there or when God has us to be there. These are the weights. These are the things, they're not sin, but you probably shouldn't be doing them. It's enough that it's going to trip your brother up, or it's going to trip your sister up. So therefore, you probably should remove it. I know some people say, well, pastor, this is not a sin, but it's not a sin to you, but it's a gateway. It's a gateway or a key to a gate for somebody else that's watching you. There may be some things that I desire to do, but you know what? I don't do them. Why? Because I know it might be a gateway to a member in my church. Well, not my church, God's church. So they say, oh, if pastor can do it, then it's okay. And if they doing it because they say it's okay because pastor did it, then what happens is what? They find themselves doing this thing. And as they do this thing, now it leads to something else, to something else. And now they wonder, how did I get way out here? It started with that little thing. So that's the sacrifice. That's what he's talking about as a living sacrifice. So a sacrifice, what? Typically in the Bible, the sacrifices were dead. But he said, no, I want you to do it by your walk, your living. So how do you know these people? He said, and Mark, he said, and these signs shall follow them. Not only are you going to know their fruit, but he said what? They should what? Follow them that believe. They should be able to cast out devils. Mm-hmm. They should speak in new tongues. Because see, I told y'all people, they out here teaching folks to speak in tongues now. But the Holy Ghost can give you a tongue that can't be replicated. Woo! Come on, somebody. It'll give you a tongue that can't be replicated. Then what does he say? What else he said? He said they should take up serpents. Now, the thing is about this serpent, you don't walk around picking up snakes. Don't be an idiot. But remember, we've talked about this before. When Paul was picking up the firewood, Paul picked up a snake in his firewood. He picked it up by what? Accident. So what is the serpent? Sometimes you're going to pick up some devils. Woo! There are going to be some people that you're trying to help, and you're going to realize you got a devil. You're going to realize you got a devil. But I'm here to remind you, the Bible said, well, you should take up serpents. And they're what? They're not going to harm you. See, the serpent here is, it can be a bad person. Sometimes in our quest to help brothers and sisters, we run into people who do not have good intentions. We run into people who despitefully use us. Mm-hmm. You know how many calls I've gotten during this pandemic? Hey, pastor, can you help us? Can you help us this? Help you that? And you know what? And the truth of the matter is, we've helped them. We helped them. Some who want to be right, some who trying to get it right, some who were just here, they thought maybe it was a handout. But God knows those snakes, and I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, don't worry about it. It's not gonna harm you. Yeah, you got bit. No, you got bit. Identify the snake and move on. It's part of the journey. It's part of the journey. I've been bit, but I've not been poisoned. Oh, come on, somebody. You can be bit, but not poisoned. So when you're helping people, these people are going to bite. They're going to bite. I'm telling you. And it's going to hurt. I believe I've never been bit by a snake, but I believe if it bites you, it's probably going to hurt. It might even draw blood. But I'm here to tell you today, you don't quit. Because it's what? Even in that bite, it's not going to harm you. It's not going to harm you. And any other deadly thing that they try to do, when they're trying to despitefully use your name, when they're trying to put you in places and situations and circumstances, and you're trying to figure this whole thing out, just know he got it under control. And he told us this is part of what? That sacrifice that we live. He said, wait, then you're what? They also shall what? Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That you and I will be able to pray for those and people will be able to recover. And what do? Then what are they going to do? They're going to attach. They're attaching not to you, but they're attaching to the God in you that draw them. Do you not know God performed miracles what? To draw them. He uses you and I, and we live in it as a living sacrifice what? To draw them. I'm here to tell you today, it's that drawing power that he's put inside of you and I and us. So this church of simulacrum, the church of simulacrum, let's not be that church. We identified those four pieces. It starts out as a copy. Mm-hmm. Then it starts out that it then number two, it goes to what a form of it. It's distorted. Mm-hmm. Then number three, it's covered up. It's a wolf in sheep's clothing. And then number four, they call it a thing. They'll call it a fish. They'll call it a church. And it has no resemblance. I hope that this has been a powerful word for you on today. I hope that this has been a lesson for you on today. I hope that this has been a help for you on today to say, hey, I understand now, Pastor. If I ever say anything else to you, if I never get to address you again, that you walk away and know how not to be fooled by Satan and his devices of this world. Because Satan has a church. Don't make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. He has an agenda. Make no mistake about it. But God has also given us an agenda, the same one that he gave us over 2,000 years ago, to go out into the streets and highways and compel them to come, and how to what? For ourselves to it, forward that church. God bless you all. I love you all. I hope that this has been a blessing to you on this day. Let's end with a prayer. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you right now. Lord, we just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us in our right mind. We thank you for that, too, God. Lord, I ask that this word, Lord Jesus, today be a word that is penetrating, oh, God, that it, Lord, sticks to our marrow and our bones, oh, God. Lord Jesus, that it be something that we chew on all week, oh, God, that we see. Lord Jesus, we examine our relationships and those things around us, Lord Jesus, to see them for what they are, Lord Jesus. Is this some kind of simulation, Lord Jesus? Is this being changed in front of us, oh, God? And to the point, Lord, we became so inundated with the simulation that we got to the point, Lord, we didn't even recognize when it was completely fake. Lord, I ask that you help us on today, Lord. You build up the spirit within us, oh God. And we thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we praise your name. We ask you to do things to others in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. At this time, I ask that if God has put on your heart that you would come in and that you'll give offering. Amen. Get a little offering music here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if I want that, but we can go back to this. Hey, if you say God is going to break it in your finger.
I'm coming right now, but it's not me, the pastor kid, it's not. To let you know, it's God, it's going to work in your faith.
I know
you're
going
all the way
through.
And you
don't know
what to do. Oh,
I see
church. So I know those of you know y'all familiar with all God bless you all. I love you all. I'm just so grateful to all of you all for being here with us this morning. Share this broadcast with somebody else. Send it to somebody else, Facebook, wherever the case may be. God bless you all. Love you all. You all have a wonderful week. And we'll be having service on right here at the same time. I mean, on 7 o'clock on Wednesday as we continue our excellent study in the book of James. We're really taking our time to come in there. And I pray that you all are not just enjoying it because this is not entertainment, but that you're getting a word, that you're getting this and you're understanding what God has put before us. God bless you all. I love you all. You all take care. Enjoy your families and spend time with each other. Take care. I'm asking you all continue to pray for my wife and I. I'll pray for my mother-in-law. You know, she's been a little bit under the weather. But nonetheless, God is good and she's progressing well and we're just grateful. God bless you all. I love you all. And you all take care until next time.
Disgusting.
That's
right.
That's
right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That